Now it's my turn.
Fucking thank God.
I'm so excited. Have you ever dropped a napkin before we start? Have you ever taken a napkin out of... Do you buy napkins at home? I know that's a thing with I've actually noticed that some people don't buy napkins.
Who is that a thing with? Have you done a survey? Have you
asked people? To people's houses and there's no napkins there. Do you have napkins in your house?
No.
Okay, so here's the difference between you judging me and me judging you. I guessed, I asked, and I was right.
Yeah.
I guessed, do you have napkins in your house? Because I go to houses and I don't always see napkins.
Right. I assume, and I'm usually wrong. I understand.
So, do you ever drop a napkin? Do you ever get a napkin either at a bar
or
you feel so stupid. If you drop a napkin before you use it, it's one of the weirdest sensations ever. It's just like throwing paper on the floor. Because it's bad, right? After that, you can't use it. It's like throwing a tissue on the floor, like dropping a tissue by accident too. It's just, you might as well have taken it and thrown it right into the trash. It's a really odd sensation.
It is odd, I'll agree. You can't use it for any food related things, but you can definitely use it to clean up other things.
Yeah, that's right. Then you got to go into the whole like, okay, well now I guess my counter is very dirty. You know, you can't clean the counter necessarily because it's on the floor. That's sort of counting.
You can wipe up some dirty shit with that.
The bottom of your fridge. Yeah, if you drop enough napkins. Okay, bring us in.
Welcome to Let's Start a Cult Podcast, Mike Edition.
No,
second episode.
No, we keep fucking it up, and I want to do it.
Yeah.
Episode is the denomination. We usually go from bigger to smaller. So this is a time saga, and we're doing different denominations of time. Mm-hmm. So now we're up to centisecond, which is small centisecond, and the addition is who's hosting.
Gotcha. All right. This is Let's Start a Cult Podcast. Oh shit.
Let's work through it.
Yeah.
Centa.
Getting the word time saga was difficult. All right.
Okay.
This is Let's Start a Cult Podcast, Time Saga, Centisecond Episode, Mike Edition.
Good.
Theme song by Freddie Unreal of the Turnbucklers.
Firing up podcast engines. Deepu, prepare the one, that machine there. Do it.
Okay.
It's on. Starting funny motors. Engage goofometers. Firing silly missiles. Okay.
This is a funny ship.
Wait,
dude.
Fire silly missile again? Got him!
Got him. Yeah.
Knock that son of a bitch out. All right. Hey, welcome to Let's Start
There's
a Cult
a torpedo Park. Coming.
Engage chicken fields. blocks it all. Okay.
Dude, my roommates think I'm just losing my goddamn mind right now.
They'd be fucking right. I mean.
Yeah, but just to hear this side of it.
Welcome to Let's Start a Cult Podcast, a podcast about groupthink, things that we think that we only think because we think them. We also call it hack thought, which is I love it. It's a great term. It's a hacky thought, thoughts that everyone has to do. Deepu, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Thank you for having me.
I'm not having you. What are you saying? Do you understand the fucking words you say?
Well, no.
So here's a question. Before we get going, what crime would you do if you could do a crime?
It's tough, right? No, I'm picturing, you know, the ideal.
You don't get away. Hold on, let me make it clear. You don't get away with it. What this assumes is
that changes everything.
No, you're not guaranteed to get away with it with my scenario. It's just let's say because the reason we don't do crime. Is because we want to be a productive member of society and we think that it's wrong to hurt others. But let's say you could, when I say could, I mean you could move yourself to do it. You could find it in yourself because you have free will. You can do crimes right now. But you're not going to because you're a good person.
Yeah, I really don't have crimes that jump out at me. I can if you want me to plan a crime, I can give it a shot, but I don't think about crime.
That's ever. Not what I meant. What do you mean? I can plan a crime too. Stab someone in the head. Great plan. That's the plan.
I mean, like,
to commit
big
a crime.
Picture. I mean, how are you going to get millions? How are you going to win?
Is that what you want to do? You want to steal? That's not the only crime. Stealing isn't the only crime. This is just if you could bring yourself to do a crime, what crime would you do?
It would have to be money. It has to be for money.
Think you'd have to steal?
Yeah, I'm not in favor of manslaughter. I'm not a big fan of sexual assault of any kind. So it's got to be about the money.
Right, the violent crimes are. So you would steal? Stealing's an easy choice, I think. But what would you steal? Remember, you don't just get away with it. You have to try and get away with it.
I mean, we can do testing on smaller targets and then work our way up. So you know, I would.
So you're living a whole life of crime.
Yeah,
you would switch right away. You wouldn't go from, well, I'm just saying, if you could even bring yourself to do one crime, I wouldn't steal. It's somebody else's shit. That seems so cruel.
But if it belongs to a bank or a big entity, I don't feel as bad. They usually have it insured. Everyone's happy.
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. No, well, so then you do a bank robbery? Well, that's your sense of morality, so you're just going to do it now?
I mean, you asked me the.
If that's your sense of morality, that's your sense of morality right now. I'm saying you have to live in another world in which you.
Nonviolent.
What about these other practice crimes that you said you would do?
Oh, like candy machines and shit? Yeah.
I would not steal from candy. You know how hard it is to fix those things? Somebody's got to schlep that thing out there.
They're
here,
not,
everybody.
They're
we
just
going to
throw
here
it
Here we go, Jimmy. Bring in the Fruitopia machine. No one will ever stop wanting Fruitopia. Bring it in here. I know it's heavy, and I know it's cumbersome, and I know it's red, but bring it in here, and this machine's going to bring us millions. Everyone's going to want Fruitopia for it. And Bob, move in this Powerade machine. No one's ever going to not want Powerade and Fruitopia. These are the drinks of the future. Slide the Fresca machine in here, too.
I remember loving seeing those toy machines as a kid. And now,
what toy machines?
Yeah, like the little, you put a quarter and you get a little sticker out or a little bouncy guy.
Okay, the quarter, the little swirly quarter.
Yeah, I'd rob the shit out of those.
So you have done crimes, I guess the answer.
No. I'm saying, no, that's what I would do. Start small, rob
those.
That's
so mean. That's like a small business. That's not a big corporation.
Small rewards, too. Psh, fucking bullshit.
But it's small, but you just rob someone.
Yeah, $5 up, $5 down. No one's using that stuff anyway. I'm just cleaning house.
Maybe I think you could have a lot of fun. I know this sounds lame, but I think you could have a lot of fun with trespassing and vagrancy.
Oh, I love sneaking around. I love.
Yeah,
being
I think
sneaky.
like if I could live in a zoo secretly for a while, that's probably a good. I think I would do that crime. I think I would do that crime anyway. How much could they send you to jail? Wouldn't you show up to court and be like, look, I survived in a polar bear enclosure. Come on.
Now you're going in the enclosures? You're jumping
I would
in there?
Live in the zoo. Yeah. That's the appeal, is sort of being a Tarzan of the zoo.
So by day two, the people have discovered you.
No, well, that would be part of my crime, was that you couldn't see me. I would figure out a way to hide and stuff. That would be the art of the crime. I would do
this
crime.
And are you
crime.
Stealing
I gotta
food
say,
rations from
I
these
would
animals?
Say, I would do this crime right now.
I could see you doing it. I could really see you doing it. I'm really
well. Assumingly, I have a way to sneak in and out. I unlike a panda bear, have thumbs. So I'd imagine that it's pretty easy if you're a thumbed person to get out of, say, a fox enclosure. I'd say it's pretty easy for you.
Sure.
I wouldn't steal their food. I think I'd be in and out. Stop at 7-Eleven. Come back. I would bet that's the biggest problem. Is you have to sort of. Eat outside of the cages.
Yeah, there's no food on campus.
Go, oh, I bet a giraffe goes fucking nuts for a Slurpee. I bet a giraffe is this calm, docile animal, and it sees a Slurpee, it goes crazy.
You should just give 7-Eleven foods to all the animals and see how they react.
No, that's like torturing taquitos. Animals. My fun thing of being the white ape of the zoo is more fun.
All right, yeah.
White ape was Tarzan's nickname for people that don't know. I'm not going to give junk food to animals. Although now I feel like I should apologize. That does kind of sound funny. How cute would a fucking elephant be with a Slurpee? Shut the fuck up.
Just like that big
big
truck
thing and a Slurpee. It's still trying to get the bottom of it. Oh, so cute. A walrus with Cheetos? A cheetah with Cheetos. That's weird. I don't like that. That upset me. All right. Hey, do you love delicious things. No, you know, I'm thinking about it. You probably don't like delicious things. No, why did I ask? You probably don't like delicious things. It doesn't matter. Well, I don't want to bring it up. Oh, you do like delicious things, you say. You're screaming into your phone. Well, look up Eat Chinis. That's C-I-N-I. Eat Chinis. They're on Facebook. They're on Instagram. Eat Chinis. And if you direct message them, you want these things. Demand them in your town or city. Eat Chinis. They're these little orange chini balls. They're filled with rice and cheese. They know about it. You can get all the flavors there. They do crazy stuff. Go to Eat Chinis. Eat. You know how to spell eat. Come on. Don't mess with me. C-I-N-I. It's on Instagram. It's on Facebook. And let them know that you want delicious things, especially if you're in Boston. They can get it to you real quick. Okay? Do you know, like, this is a thing that a term I've come up with that I think relates to people. Do you ever meet batting cage people, which is not friends you make at the batting cage, which I'm sure what you thought instantly, but it's a term I'm calling batting cage people. Like, there are people that you meet in life that you want, like, a second, like, every time you want to be interesting or funny or cool around them, like in a batting cage, where when you leave a batting cage, you never feel as though you did well. You know, every time I leave a batting cage, I always feel like, I did so badly in that batting cage. Have you ever had that sensation?
I've had that sensation, but I've also felt at times that I did great in a batting cage. So I don't know what this guaranteed
shitty
feeling is.
I feel more shitty than I do good.
Okay.
I feel more shitty than I do good. So that feeling of, like, leaving a batting cage, being like, oh, I want another run. You know, but that's true. Even when you do good, you want to go again at a batting cage.
When you connect perfectly, when the ball hits the center of the bat, oh, best feeling ever. Go straight
ahead.
But
you want it. You just keep wanting it. Oh, you never, until you
fuck
up.
It's like cracking a knuckle, just that's been gnawing at you for years.
Are you in favor or against cracking knuckles?
So in favor of it.
There are people that are very against it. I've always wanted to be in the brain of someone that's genuinely bothered by it. What is it? Is it that it looks like the hand is breaking or something?
Yeah, that was my mom's fear. She's like, don't do that. You know, you're going to hurt yourself. You'll get arthritis or, you know, some condition.
Oh, yeah, that fake thing. Don't do that. You'll get a genetic disorder. Every time you crack your knuckles, it sends a wave back in the time-space continuum.
Listen, I don't believe it.
And changes our genetics to give you arthritis.
I've seen a study loosely referenced in some bullshit social media article.
Nope, find it right now. Find it right now.
Okay, yeah, sure. Should I
find the original article? It is a genetic disorder.
No, I'm not arguing that. I was going to look up the...
You're not arguing that. So what you're saying is that cracking knuckles can change your genes.
No.
Which are you arguing? Because you're only arguing one of the two.
You just totally just jumped.
So what you're saying, no, because what you're saying is that these geneticists who are, like, splicing in genes and injecting, you know, jellyfish with, like, weird stuff and trying to grow ears on mice because they've been spent years trying to do these stuff and looking at the genes, idiots. What they need to do is crack their knuckles and think a magic wish.
Okay, I don't know what crawled up your ass, but...
What crawled up my ass is you just said, I saw something that says you can change your genes by cracking your knuckles.
No, I definitely did not say... Maybe I did.
Okay, so then how could you cause a genetic disorder by cracking your knuckles?
Okay.
How am I... No, I'm not calming down. Now, I don't know why I'm so riled up this episode, but I am not calming down about this. No, you know what? I will... You know what? Because there's always two ways to play this show, and I always think about that... I get to play on the show the character of the indignant, righteous person. Okay, Deepu, you teach me. Uh-huh. Deepu, I'm so confused right now, and I'm such an idiot, because I thought that arthritis was a genetic problem, and you're saying it can be caused by cracking your knuckles. So in some way, I guess you're saying that cracking knuckles interferes with your genome?
Okay, first of all, I didn't say any of that. Let me just...
What did you say then?
What I was trying to say was that there was a famous study done where a doctor cracked the knuckles on one hand and left the other hand untouched for years.
So this doctor, hold on, because I'm ignorant. Uh-huh. So this doctor was doing self-experimentation. Yeah. Sounds scientific, you know.
Yeah, it's a little loose.
So he was doing it just on his own time, and I'm sure he was able to, he probably didn't do anything else, right? He mostly stayed in the lab and didn't do anything else with his hands.
The funding wasn't great. But he got the Nobel Prize in Medicine for his work.
Anyway. do you meet people like this where you you want to really impress them, but every time you link up with them and every time you talk to them, you just are like, I really want to make this person think I'm cool. And you just like, you don't fail, but you just want another swing at it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like falling on your face. It's not that, you know, Gervaisian, Stephen Merchant-esque humor of cringe humor and things like that. You don't fail. You just, that was so unimpressive. Have you ever met people like that in your life?
Sure, yeah. People I'm dying to impress and just fail at it repeatedly.
But not fail. See, that's what it is. It's not, I guess it's technically failure. Maybe I'm being softer than it is, but it's just mostly that, like, you come out neutral and you want to see that person again so you can be like, no, I'm actually funny or interesting or cool. I need to,
sure.
I ran out of stuff on the week that I was talking to you. I just recently ran out of stuff.
What do you mean ran out of stuff?
Whatever it is, you know, to be, if you have to say something interesting. I just recently ran out of interesting things. Yeah. Come back tomorrow. I swear we will have interesting things here.
Is interesting things just like your Mad Libs fill in just for the
whatever
thousand
it may
things
be,
you could
yeah,
say?
Whatever. Okay. If it's you need to look good at a sport, you're like, yeah. It's just right now that I played unimpressively or whatever.
Pretend you're on the phone selling stocks, you know, wear nice shoes, that kind of thing. Maybe.
Yeah, that was nonsense. What?
You know what? Let's not lose track again because of me. Let's just focus on here. Yes, I have wanted to impress people and felt that feeling.
And then you keep running into them usually. Usually you keep what I call them batting cage people is because it's common. You generally, like from my perspective, I generally keep running. I run into those people again and again, and I just can't land it. I just can't stick
to
the fucking landing.
What are you trying? How important are they that they're not impressed by you?
No. They're not. It's not about that. It's not on them. It's on me. It's that whatever, you know, let's say 90%, because I try to be, it's me. So mostly if it's me, like I'll talk from my experience, I'm always trying to make people think I'm entertaining, but I don't have to try too hard. But there's some people where it's just like, I just missed the mark on it. I'm a narcissist, so I like a lot of attention and praise and things like that. And, you know, let's start a cult. Yes, I'm against cults, but boy, it would be fun. To be worshipped, give me your fruit baskets and beheaded goats. Oh, that would feel. To be honest, I don't like killing animals, but I think the first time you saw someone sacrifice an animal to you, you'd be like, "That is fucked up," but that is so complimentary. Do you know what I mean? I think I'd be really upset about it initially, and then I would be like, "But they did that for me."
Yeah, I mean, that animal died. That animal, depending on the animal, I guess it really depends. If they just kill some fleas or something, I wouldn't be that...
I would be more impressed. Fleas are really hard to kill. If someone came up with like 1,000... if it was the same weight of animal every time, the smaller animals would be a lot... Again, I'm a big animal advocate, so this is more about the scenario in which people like believe I'm some sort of deity. So we're already in fucked up territory. Don't think this is something I actually want. But okay, someone comes up with one goat. Yeah, it's going to be a whole bloody show.
Mm-hmm.
And let me lay out the scenario exactly. How would you... Okay, well, let's do that right now. Let's throw it out there for we didn't take a survey. How would you feel if people sacrificed animals to you because they thought you were a deity?
Are you asking me? I would love that.
Right. It's not that someone comes up to you like... and just does it, or just kills a fucking animal in front of you. This is a full society thinks you're a deity of some sort.
How often is this occurring? Is this
never? Really? Never. That's why it's a fun hypothetical.
But I mean,
is it occurring in real life ever?
No, I mean, as a deity in this hypothetical, is this happening yearly, monthly, daily? Am I watching a goat getting jacked every day? Let's do it through all of them.
Let's assume that you stay in power.
Okay. If they're sacrificing a goat a day,
let's do it a different way.
Okay,
let's do it just via time that it's done to you. Like, how do you feel the first time? How do you feel the 12th time? And how do you feel the 50th time?
Well, by the 50th time, I'm just like, you don't even see the goat anymore. You're just looking past. You're just looking at the stump that it's sitting on.
So what does that mean? You would become
it's dead to you before you even see it. You're numb.
So
to
you
it.
Think you'd be blasé? You'd be like, blech, whatever. Yeah, kill the goat. I'm done.
Yeah, whatever. Bring the next guy in.
I think it would be more like rereading a book. I think you'd start to you only start to really enjoy it by the 50th. The first time, I think you're shocked. Either way, I think the first time you are speechless.
Mm.
But I think by the 50th time, you're like, yes, now I can really enjoy this. I can really get to know this goat.
See, now I'm thinking about, like, am I going to see the goat squirm a bunch? Is that a factor? Do they squirm? Do they just drop?
No, I don't think you get to choose how quick it is.
But I think it just happens. Is it different methods every time? Like one guy gets killed with a sword.
It's like somebody comes up and is like, I assume at some point they'd get a methodology, but I also assume that's kind of hard to get that around. You know what I mean? I feel like that instruction manual is going to be difficult to crack for everyone.
I guess so. All right, so let's say it's not pleasant to watch.
There are people that have a hard time logging into their email, Deepu. I think you're going to have a difficult time getting everyone to link up on the same way you kill a goat. Or maybe not.
I think with the right messaging, you can really get it around there. But anyway.
Maybe you put on goat's horns, like those things that they sell, that they have on planes, that are like, open the door lift in the event of a crash.
You lost me. There's goats that say that?
No, there's no goats. Ugh. Whatever. You know those pictogram things?
Yes.
That it's like you lifting the door. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then everyone goes out into the ocean.
Have one saying that you kill a goat this way. This is how you kill a goat. Strangle it with chicken wire.
I think in this society they call it goat wire. Well, that's it. It's marketing. That's what it is.
Yeah, people have no problem choking a chicken. Why?
Goat wire, goat gloves. You make it user interactive. I think there's very few people that would not get into it eventually. Not be really flattered by it eventually, and even want more goats.
Oh, you're saying they wouldn't be satisfied with the one goat.
I think if you're a type of person who's willing to let people go along with thinking you're a deity, I think there's no, if like you're not going to be a good person and be like, okay, yeah, everybody thinks I'm a god. Like I'll let that keep going on, but I'm disgusted with the goat thing. I don't think you get one without the other. I think you're either a maniac and want people to think you're a god, and you also eventually get really into watching people sacrifice goats. My point about fleas was a flea sacrifice. It would hold, let's say it's all the same weight, you know, same weight of fleas as goats. Flea day. Oh my gosh.
You ever had ticks? You ever had fleas?
No, I've had rabies.
Ooh, how'd you get
that? I had the shots, which apparently I just learned I'm still immune if you've ever gotten the rabies shot.
Nice.
Like that it doesn't go away for a while, that you can get tested to see if you have the immunity to it. Awesome,
I'll take
right?
my chances. I'll dance with a squirrel in the darkness.
No, you won't. All right. So we'll take. I don't know if that's a survey. That's the one we're using.
I think it's a fine one. People are gonna have interesting answers for how do I feel about goats being sacrificed for me.
And indeed, we did take a survey. They're not always as insane sounding as the one we discussed this week, but I talked to Tyler Richardson. Tyler, his name's not Tyler, but it's Richard. Who's telling the truth? The first name or the last name? Now, am I proving my point that the show is not as insane by saying that I suspect Tyler's first name of being Tyler and lying to me? By saying that? No. I'm proving I'm more insane. Tyler Richardson of Reels and Splash Report, a great comedian, and he's here to do this survey. All right, here's an insane one that might nullify every other smart thing I've said. When I wait in line, me, personally, when I wait in line, I face backwards, looking at the person behind me.
Interesting. I'm not sure if I understand why.
All right, I'll pitch it to you. A, I cannot stand people that when they're in line in front of you are like taking their time as if they don't know there's a line behind them. So it keeps me very aware of how long lines are, like because I'm looking back. Like I know I've got to speed my shit up or I can be casual, you know, based on the line behind me. And then B, I very much also hate when people seem to think that because your back is to them, they can get very close to you.
Now, see, that's what I thought you were going for. I do not like people very close to me, and I stand to the side, which is why I didn't totally judge you there. Because if I'm standing, I'll go in facing forward, and then when someone gets too close, I turn to the side, which generally gets them to back up a step or something, because I'm just like, you're very close. And sometimes I'll ask them, because I'll have panic attacks and I'll start sweating, dripping down my back and like shooting down my armpits, just because when people are too close to me, my mind starts to race.
See, but this is what I'm saying, is don't worry about it. Don't try these weird, you know, half techniques. What I'm pitching is just turn backwards in line, and that person will guaranteed take a step back a little bit. Like, they understand now face to face, like, oh no, this is too close.
I like that mentality. I don't know if I'll ever like turn all the way around, but yeah, anything to get somebody back. Cause like when the line's not moving and people keep moving, I'm like, just because you keep coming closer to me does not mean that the line is moving.
Oh, you got to do my move too, where I will not move if the line moves. I mean, I will wait. I will do, if it's a long line, if it's really getting, you know, squished up in there, like we're a kindergarten class waiting for, you know, milk at lunch. Like, I will just, three or four customers, I'm not moving from that spot, just to show that this is not an inch up game. We are not, there's no points for getting further.
And people are absolute animals.
They are. Do you ever do it, if you're ever at a stoplight, if you inch up and the person next to you inches up too, it's like, what is, that is a guttural reaction you've just had to me moving up.
Yeah, and some people think that the weighted sensor at the bottom, if you move a little bit, it like fools it into thinking that there's some other vehicle that has now like come up on it. And I'm like, I don't know if they're that simple.
Yeah, this is,
they put engineers to work.
Well, it's not engineering. It's a bit of machine worship. They believe that like, I must appease the computer. Please, oh great. Stoplight machine, favor me. I have inched in the way you like. Like, they don't think it's...
I have got to number two. This fight needs to change.
And of course, back with us again, Tayomi, at Glamerotica 101. She's of Ebony, of her own website, of many writings, and we talk about one of her writings right here. So the thing that when I told people you were going to be on the podcast that are they're most fascinated with, and which is the most interesting part of your appeal to my audience, not necessarily your career. I don't want to speak for your career, but you wrote a book about threesomes and positions and things like that. How do you feel about the state? What I want to ask you primarily, which I don't know, which I think, I'll be honest, I think probably the people interviewing you are very open to threesomes and things like that, but you've become sort of a threesome expert amongst those people. but I think that the public at large are very foreign to threesomes, as opposed to the sex community, which is very open to them. You know, how do you feel about the public at large's feeling about, well, I guess first tell us like in two sentences about the book and things you're writing about threesomes, and then tell us about how you feel the public at large feels about threesomes.
Well, yes, my book on threesomes is one of the few books I'm working on right now, yeah. But
that's the one that stands out. I don't mean to, I don't want you to think that I'm pigeonholing you either. That's the one when I was telling people she's going to be on the show and she wrote this book and that book and that book, then they stop me there. You know what I mean? It's about market research is what I'm telling you here. Is that people have been constantly stopping me there.
I know that. This is the thing. The reason I decided to write a book about threesomes is because I haven't seen a book out there about it. When you go online, there's all types of forums and stuff, but it's like the information is all scattered. And
in my opinion, mostly fictional. You know, I think a lot of the threesome stuff out there is mostly fucking made up, and no one thinks they're going to get called on it. They just write it, and they don't think someone's going to be like, hey, that's not happening in my threesome. No, it happened. I swear. She goes to a different school. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what? It's one of those things where, like, you know, threesomes come in many different forms. And there's not an art to it. I mean, if you are an average everyday person and your sex life is pretty vanilla, it's going to seem very weird to do, I guess. Or I know a lot of people write me about threesomes and they ask me, how do you, you know, find a third partner? How do you start it off? It's like one of the most common sexual fantasies. People just don't know how to really go about it. And two, because a lot of people have hang-ups about sex that they haven't even really expressed or talked about. And when you bring a third person in, you're bringing in a third energy. But you're bringing in a third energy, and with that, you're going to have certain aspects of yourself and your personality and your energy that shifts and comes out. So the energy and the vibe between, you know, the group is really important. And group sex, I mean, is actually pretty sacred, and it dates back, like, centuries. So, like, I think 5,000 years, they would use group sex as a way to heal each other and to, you know, raise consciousness. So they were using the energy purposefully. Most people, when they think about a threesome, it's just like, oh, I want to have sex with a third person. The question is, why, though? You know,
yeah,
you have to really look into, like, what are you trying to get out of this experience? Because there are all types of ways you can perform a threesome, and there's different, you know, people. You can have two women, one guy, all guys.
See,
all
let me interject the sort of group think thing that you might not be experiencing. For I think the sex world at large, they're gonna, you know, let you continue, you know, in this manner. For me, when I have a threesome, I'm most worried about the presence of a gun or a knife. That's how it is for me, is that I'm very worried that, oh, you know, they'll let me do this, but then at the end of it, I'm probably going to get murdered. So it's more of like, oh, how dare you? And then, okay, well, now it's...
Why? Why do you have that thought, though?
I don't necessarily have that thought, but it's more of like a standoff kind of noir film. I don't think that way. I think everyone in theory, a lot of people in theory, this is what I'm trying to bring up in terms of, you know... The show is about groupthink, Tyomi. So for me, I like to bring it to the ways that maybe you haven't heard it that way. You know, for me, and I think a lot of people in a very pure sense are saying, like, well, no, we want to include this third entity in lovemaking, and then that will increase our love for each other. But then in reality, of course, jealousy and things like that slip in.
You know, it's not going to increase your love for each other. I mean, literally, this third person is just, you know, another person to add into your sexual experience. So instead of having sex with two people, it's three. Mm. And people get that twisted. They think that, oh, if I have a threesome, it's going to make my relationship better. Or, you know, people want to spice it up. Nothing wrong with spicing it up at all. But again, like you said, jealousy and all this stuff, it comes out. It comes out in threesomes because, again, you're bringing this third entity in, and they're a reflection of you, so they're going to be bringing out those things that you are most insecure about when it comes to sex. Because if you already don't know what to do that well with a second person, you bring a third person in, and it just gets really awkward. So
that makes me so... Can I say, because, you know, in looking at your social media presence, I really liked the way you present stuff, because a lot of times people will write about threesomes and then they'll have an anonymous party. But from the photography that you do, you write about threesomes, and then that person is sort of a presence in your social media for a good, you know, for a long amount of time. You know, it isn't this idea of, I think a lot of people will write books about threesomes and that person is in that photography and then they go away, as if they are some anonymous third-party source. But I very much pay attention to the models and whether they're real people or not. You know, that's your own business. But I see them. They're there. They're there in your photography many, many, many posts after the initial post, which brings a realism to it that's sort of saying, like, no, this person, if you're going to bring a third person in, it isn't some fantasy, whatchamacallit, like a cabal of women, you know, or a cabal of men. It is a third, it's a human being. They're there, and they're going to be there, and they're not going away, and they might stay around for a while.
And then, you know what? It's like people put way too much weight on a threesome, though. Like, all it is sex with a third person. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're going to be falling in love. It doesn't mean that you have a relationship with this person now. And that's the thing. Finding a partner is important because you have to be with the same mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, like my husband and I have had...
I think a lot of people are shocked already from our listenership to hear the word husband. You know what I mean? And I'm a big fan of, I know you're fans, and I'm a big fan of you on social media, and I can see how in love you two are. But I think a lot of people are probably already shocked to hear that word coming out. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. But you know what? That's great, because then they can actually see that what they think is impossible is actually possible. You know, a couple who doesn't have hang-ups about, like, being open sexually and just being free. Like, that's pretty much it. I mean, when we first met, you know, of course, like, sex is a very natural part of my life. So it's going to come up in conversation often. And we've talked about our sex lives, like, since we've known each other. And everything has developed very, very naturally. And I told him, I was like, I like to have threesomes, you know? Would you be okay with that? And he's like, yeah, we'll love to experience that. And
let's be fair, you're both very good looking. I want everyone out there. They're both like fucking beautiful model type people. So it's, we always try and relate it to the common person here, Tyomi. They're both like fucking gorgeous. If they never met each other, they could both be underpants models. So we do have to admit, you know, a disadvantage of where it comes. It's not as if they're going to break up one day and be like, no, where I'm grossing over the hill and I'm never going to find another part. They'll both be fine, you know, otherwise. I really have to be honest. They're both very good looking. I would say within the top half percent. It's not about you, Tyomi. Don't thank me. I'm just trying to let people know what the fucking reality of the situation. Both incredibly good looking people. Top half percent in the population of the world. So I would, you know, but that's interesting to hear that that's how you started it, that you started on this very open level. You know, I'd imagine you'd have to, because there's no way either of you, you know, I always say that there's couples that walk around and go, they must get eye fucked by everybody at the bar. You know, you look at people you are one of those couples that you must go to bars and it must just be like, have you seen the population of Earth? Most of them are disgusting. They mostly look like turtles and t-shirts and jeans. It's horrible. So you two walking into a bar, you must get eye fucked like crazy.
Oh, yeah, we do. I mean, he's a very attractive man. And the way I look at him, other women look at him, and I'm like, yeah, I know you see it. But we get stared at all the time.
What's this? Another survey? Yes, that's right. There was such a nice response from our fans last week. Record numbers last week in the listening. And so we decided to reward you with the Nerds Without Pants gang giving us a survey right here.
We shouldn't lie ever. I disagree. I think there are times when lying is appropriate. And I say this as someone who, like, spent the majority of his lifetime, like, feeling that you should never lie ever because of religious reasons. But I think that there are times when lying can be a boon to people, especially people that are grieving or going through really bad stuff and just can't handle, like, that extra level of stress.
I agree, but I'm lying.
I mean, I'm not sure if that's lying is sort of more painting like a better picture or helping them through like a time. Like, you don't necessarily have to say certain things, but if you're leaving something out, that's more to me like deceit. And I've been deceitful in my life maybe a little bit, but like only in certain circumstances. I almost never have had to lie. And I think that you might have to lie under extreme circumstances, but like most of the time, I think there's no reason you ever have to.
So here's the thing. Like, I think he's being pretty clear here. He's not talking about like leaving something out or guiding somebody away from information. He's talking about somebody asks you a yes or no question. Correct. You know, truth is yes. You say no. Would you do this? And I would say there are circumstances where I would do that, and I might feel guilty doing it anyway. But yeah, you know, you could make me do that. There's ways.
Sometimes it just gets you out of a conversation that you don't want to be a part of.
Also that, yeah.
We can all, like, push ourselves to, like, certain – or get pushed to certain extremes in order to, like, be tortured into doing something we normally wouldn't do. And I could definitely see myself like that, too. Who knows, like, if you just by circumstances in society, for instance, become poor and then, like, you have to lie to get money for some reason. In that case, I might have to. But, like, luckily I've gotten the – I don't know, just the right amount of world around me where I didn't have to, and I was able to just be honest with people for forever, and I really liked that, because as a writer, I think you need to believe in your word, and that's why I've only lied a handful of times in my life. Those were all times when I was like immature and young.
Okay, we're good.
I was really happy right. I had to say that.
Number three.
Hey, once a month we do these very serious, not very serious, it's not that serious of a thing. In fact, that's the point of it, is that we work with a group called IAM1in4.com. It's a group trying to spread the message that one in four people encounters some problem with mental health in their life, and it's a project that we do out of the goodness of our hearts to tell people about this message, because I'm really in support of it. I talk openly about my OCD on the show. You know, you should go to IAM1in4.com and check out all the amazing articles. I actually wrote an article about the idea of talking about OCD on the air, and they actually have a book, and they publish these articles now. If you go to IAM1in4.com and you look up their book, To Be Continued, they publish articles from noted authors, and then sometimes just from regular everyday people that want to write about their issues with mental health. But it's IAM1in4.com. Listen, one in four people goes through something with mental health. That means you are going to meet someone. You are going to meet someone who has an issue with some sort of mental health. It might be something extreme. It might be something minor. But I think the world would be better if we go by IAM1in4.com's policy and we kind of talk about it. We kind of share it. Okay? So go to IAM1in4.com.